Chapter 6 Icebergs. Captain Rostron gave orders to everyone who wanted to help, and the deck was full of activity. Aunt Elizabeth and I collected warm clothes for the survivors. Some of the women from the second class were helping the stewards take blankets, tea, coffee, and hot soup into the dining rooms. I couldn't see any first class passengers anywhere. They were probably back in their cabins. There were three doctors travelling on the Carpathia, and the captain ordered an officer to wake them up and bring them to the deck. They arrived half asleep, but quickly organised themselves after hearing the terrible news. The English doctor took medical equipment to the first class dining room, the Italian doctor to the second class, and the Hungarian doctor to the third class. I felt angry. How strange that, even in an emergency, everyone still thinks it's important to separate the social classes from each other. Aren't we all just human beings? I thought. Captain Rostron ordered the officers to empty his cabin and theirs so the survivors could use them. Sailors tied rope and ladders to the sides of the deck to help the survivors climb onto the Carpathia. Some of them were carrying sacks, and I heard a steward tell a passenger that they were for pulling small children on board. I felt sick at the thought of small children trying to survive in the freezing water. How terrified they must be. Soon, Harold appeared on deck. There were no more messages coming from the Titanic. The radio was silent, and this was a very bad sign. Harold's job was to collect the names of each survivor when they came aboard and to send these names to New York by radio as soon as possible. Each survivor we saved would be a celebration. Suddenly, there was a loud noise and a bright light. I jumped in shock, and Harold put his arm around my shoulders. "It's just the rockets," he explained. "We're going to shoot them every 15 minutes so the people on the Titanic know we're coming." I saw Aunt Elizabeth walk out of the dining room, and I moved away from Harold quickly. "Charlotte, there you are," she said. "I was looking for you everywhere. I need you to help me carry food from the kitchen." I smiled at Harold as I walked away, but he was looking into the darkness. "There she is," he shouted. "I can see her lights. She's still floating, thank God." I looked out to sea. There was a clear green line on the horizon. "We've almost arrived then," said Aunt Elizabeth. "No," answered Harold, shaking his head. "We're still far away, but the night is clear. Look over there. Do you see that? It's an iceberg."
"Iceberg on the port side," shouted a voice.
I saw something in the distance that looked like a small white spot. The light from the stars shone on it as it got bigger and bigger. The spot became the size of a tree, then a house, and then, suddenly, it was as big as a castle as we sailed past it. I had no idea icebergs were so enormous. "We're travelling very fast," said Harold quietly. "Too fast for this zone. Look at all the icebergs." He was right. I could see white spots all around the ship. I trembled. "I hope that Captain Rostron knows what he's doing," I thought. "We can't help the Titanic if we hit an iceberg too." By the time Aunt Elizabeth and I finished taking sandwiches to all the dining rooms, it was 3:30 a.m. We were cold and tired, but we knew that we couldn't sleep, so we went back to the deck. I couldn't see the green light from the Titanic anymore. Everything on board the Carpathia was ready for the survivors. The passengers and crew were sitting silently in groups. There was nothing more anybody could do but wait.